The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, we made it to a Friday, and something is screwy with my studio. I don't know what it is. All right, I got music there. I got levels here. I was fighting with it all day today. And of course, this happens on a day when I'm not only doing my show, but I'm guest hosting the broadcast for Brad Friedman tonight. So, you know, it's the studio gremlins. They're here. We'll figure it out. Well, I want to start the show with some special guests because there's something exciting happening tonight. And it's something that happens this time every year, but this year is going to be a little different. And I don't know. We tested it before we went on the air and we were having audio issues. Story of my life. But let's try it anyway. We are going live, I believe, out to Los Angeles where Harry Shearer is there. Talk to me. Hey, I'm good. I'm looking at the chat room. Harry Shearer, say hello to the chat room and everybody listening and they'll tell us if they can hear you. It doesn't look like they can hear you. That's so weird. I don't know what's going on. And there's Judith calling. All right, so I'm going to try to bring up Judith and see if this works any better. And I still have no audio from you guys. This is so weird. So weird. I see you. Chat room, can you guys hear Harry and Judith? Can't hear him. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Judith, I am going to call you. This is live radio, everybody. And I should put up the other shot. So I can't even do that because I screwed up the shot now. Oh, man. Hold on. There you are. Okay, I got Judith on there. I got you. I can see you, but they can't hear you. So what I'm going to do is call your cell phone from mine. We'll see if this works because it is live radio and it's, you know, in the I can't even have you tell us what's going on because no one can hear you. Okay. I don't have FaceTime because I'm not a Mac person. Just so you know, Judith Owen and Harry Shearer are here because every year they do a concert. They do a Christmas Without Tears. This year, because they can't tour, they're doing a very virtual Christmas Without Tears. So, and it's a big, big show. In fact, let me put up the slide on the screen while we try to get this together so that you guys can read about it. It's happening tonight. It goes live. Actually, it just started live and it's going to work, right? And it's going to repeat. You know what? Call my cell phone. You have my cell phone number, don't you? All right. And I'm looking for you. So one of us. Okay. I've got you. Oops. Mobile. Here we go. All right. I'm calling you. And hopefully I can plug in here and we will pick you up. I need Bluetooth. Got Bluetooth on. Is it ringing? Ah, yay. Okay. Talk a second. Are you there? No. This is not working. I'll tell you what, everybody. While we try to connect, I'm going to play for you a song, okay? I'll play for you a Judith Owen song, because I can, while we try to figure this out on the other end. So enjoy. This is Judith Owen. It's called Fork in the Road.
These are strange times. We don't know where we're going. Plays on the mind. All of this unknowing in all of our lives It's all so terrifying. We're at the breaking point. It's true. Now is the time to change this world forever. Just read the signs. We've all been sent the letter. We've crossed the line. But if we stand together, there's so much we can do. We give a little love, give a little love to each other. If we have a little faith, have a little faith in one another. Stand by what is right, what is right. Not the dollar if we turn away from hate. I know we're at a fork in the road. The streets of our town are filled with peaceful anger to turn this around. Watch any longer and not make a sound. We need to right the wrongs here from the ground up. So if we just give a little love, give a little love to each other. If we have a little faith, have a little faith for one another. Stand by what is right, what is right. Not the dollar if we turn away from hate before it's too late. And we lose everything this much, I know. We're at a fork in the road. To each other, if we have a little faith in one another, if we stand by what is right, what is right. I'm not the daughter if we turn away from hate before it's too late. And we lose everything this much. At a fork in the road. We're at a fork in the road.
That is Judith Owen, and we're going to try to connect with Judith Owen and Harry Shearer again. Let's see if this works this time.
Hey there.
Yes, I think. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, at least we can kind of hear you. We can hear you from one channel, but that's good. So.
Is that right?
One channel's better than none.
One channel's better than none. I have no idea what the hell is going on today. But somebody in the chat room says, dang, Nicole, where do you find this talent? Well, Judith Owen has been doing this for how many years? I mean, playing and making great music. And this new record, I adore. I love that song, Fork in the Road. So that's the new one from Judith Owen. And she's sitting here with her husband, Harry Shearer, who you know, of course, from The Simpsons and This is Spinal Tap and a million other things in between. And every year, Judith and Harry put on a Christmas show. It's a Christmas Without Tears. Where did Christmas Without Tears come from?
I made it up.
No, thank you, Harry. He had to make it up because it was an antidote to my severe depression at being away from Blighty, away from Britain, in Christmas, and finding myself in a near paradise here in the California Beach area, and hating every second of it because it was too beautiful, it was too lovely, it was too perfect. And I was yearning, Nicole, for a Dickensian consumptive Christmas, you know, of old. And so I was just homesick. I was so homesick. And so, as an antidote, we invited all our incredibly talented friends over, you know, your Richard Thompson, Dick Ebmos, all these amazing people. And we would commune around the piano and we would sing our own music. We would sing Christmas songs. We would eat, we would drink, we would be merry. And it was basically a throwback to my Welsh upbringing, where really that was one of the most important things, was to entertain each other and yourself by singing. It was music. It was always music.
The only thing that was missing was the mind.
The mind.
The mind.
The mind. Yeah, the actual soul mind. Thank you, Harry.
Oh, the mind.
But when I said I made it up, I was referring to the actual verbiage, the title of the show.
I understand.
When we moved it, coincidentally, we were invited to move it out of our home and into the public at the Walt Disney Concert. The flooding of New Orleans, and we thought, well, we could move it to the public sphere and raise money for New Orleans, and so that's what we did, and we've been doing that ever since in helping musicians and helping the homeless charities in the cities where we do the show, and that's been L.A., London, Chicago, and New Orleans, mainly with little tries every once in a while in New York, Seattle, and San Francisco, and this year, since we can't go anywhere, we're bringing the talent from all those cities into your living room.
Because I never brought it to Florida, so I've never seen this show live. I've never seen it, so I get to watch it. I get to see it tonight. It is on Nugs TV, Nugs.tv, NUGS.tv. Tickets are $9.99, and the proceeds this time go to help musicians and music venues?
It's every year we've done it for the musicians' Clinic and Assistance Foundation in New Orleans. That's how it all started, really. This year, more than ever, I mean, really, musicians, the music community has been hit so hard that we are supporting both musicians and small venues. Independent venues. Mm-hmm. Who are, you know, they're not the big guys that can afford it.
You know, the two majors can take care of themselves.
Yeah, the little guys are going under. And, that, you know, if we're not careful, there will be a place for musicians to sing and play and perform at the other side. And we need this so much. And within this show, it's very much the same as the party that we started. Everybody does their party piece. Everybody does their original songs. We've got so many incredible artists. But in the midst of that, of course, there are astounding people who have come out to support, to lend their voices to this, to support this. People like John Goodman and Paul Schaefer and Jeff Goldblum and Donald Fagen. Bloody Fagen. And because we're all struggling and with that, the lack of live performance, and we've got highlights throughout the show of past performances, just to remind us all of what it is that we miss of that shared experience, but that electricity that you have when you're in a room, when you're watching live performance, there's nothing like it.
Absolutely.
And I should, apropos of that, we not only have a lot of music on this show, but we have a nice sprinkling of comedy as well, and an excellent little tasting of burlesque from New Orleans' own Trixie Minx.
Ooh.
But we end the show with a tribute to Fred Willard, as he does from his L.A. appearances on our show many of the time. A little piece he wrote called The True Story of Christmas.
Oh, wow.
It's remarkable.
It's fall down funny.
I'm excited to see this. So did you do your part in your home and everybody Zoomed in or Skyped in or FaceTimed in or something?
How we did it is that we said to all, you know, Richard Thompson joins us, Catherine Hara's on it, John Cleary, Steve Lukather from Toto.
Yep. I see special Paul guest Schaefer, Leland
Ringo
Sklar,
Ringo. Ridiculous. Well, I mean, a ton of my, obviously, I'm playing with Harry plays, Pedro Segundo, Leland's there, all the family. but it's everybody is doing their thing from the country they're in, from a studio or their, you know, God knows, their house, their bedroom.
It's COVID style.
It is COVID style. But we've managed to make it because of the great editing, because of when we host it, we hosted it live, we've done, put this all together, to give it that sparkle, that feeling that you are still at a party, that you're privy to something that is genuine and real and happening right now, because that's really what makes this show work so well, is that it's people who are, you know, just standing up and performing, just giving you what they have to offer, and that's their talent.
And every year for these shows, I write a Christmas song, an original Christmas song, and this year's, true to my fixation this year and other people's as well, is a song in the voice of Donald Trump, and it's called I Won Christmas.
So that doesn't appear on your latest album of all these Trump songs.
No. It was too late for that.
I see.
But I'm still in that space.
I hear you.
We're in that space until January 20th, for God's sake. Until put a fork in it.
Yeah. End soon. I keep checking my Twitter feed and everything to see if there's any update on the Supreme Court, whether or not they've, you know, weighed in yet, and they haven't. This whole thing is so frightening.
Well, they waited to file their petition until the next to the last moment, because I think the court has to rule on this by Monday. Judith just gave me a great idea.
Yeah.
If somebody was of a mind and had the talent to create a giant fork that everybody could bring to Washington.
You know what? That is a Klaus Oldenburg art piece waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And a ginormous fork in the side of the White House. Come on.
Because
he's maybe
done.
In every city.
Or the
right.
capital.
Maybe,
in every city.
Maybe just a giant fork in every
fork
city.
In it. I think that's brilliant, Harry.
I have been remiss, and people in the chat room are making sure I know, Harry, that you have your own radio show, a podcast, Le Show, which you've been doing for... How long? 20, 30 years?
37
years.
Weekend just gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm only 42. I don't know how that works.
That's amazing how that works. So we see in the poster, as I have here on the screen, two little new additions to your family.
Yeah.
They are Aretha and Franklin. I love that. Oh, my God.
Well, she's my idol. She was my idol. She's always been my idol. And I can think of, because we always name our animals after the musicians we idolize, I cannot think. Our last dog was Doris Day. I couldn't think of anything better than having a couple of a brother and sister to name them that. And I literally, when I go out walking with them, which I just was, I can't wait for people to say, what are their names? I can't wait. I just can't wait. But what you do see in the background there, of course, is Juki. Looking like Godzilla, the cat.
Oh,
I don't know how he's that
Harry's
big. He's Harry's size.
I'm about to lose hold of him.
That's a big cat.
That's a big old cat.
That's Duke.
And that's no Photoshop there. That really is how he looks. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's how he looks when he wants to be released from the grip.
So did they make an appearance in the show tonight?
Yeah, they do.
Awesome.
They do. Aretha and Franklin do, yeah. And I don't want to give it all away, but you know, what's a Christmas show without animals? Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah, when we do it live in New Orleans, we always have the dog of Christmas on stage with us. And in our very first show at Walt Disney Concert Hall, we had our dog on stage with us. So
Dexter was on stage. We'd always have an animal on stage because, you know, you have to. I mean, people want it. The problem is nobody then. Everybody else is just like, you know, nobody is being looked at then. Everybody's looking at the dog.
Chop liver
at that point. It's just the dog. But I hope that next year, when we're back to some kind of normality and we do this show live again, that Aretha and Franklin will join. They will be the dogs of Christmas. I'm feeling it.
Well, congratulations on them. They're just, I saw the picture and I melted. They're just adorable. I'm sorry. Now I lost you again. No, I don't.
Oh, no,
there you are.
You're back.
There you are.
No,
okay, say
back.
Again, Harry.
You're back. Good.
No, I was just saying we had lost you there for a moment.
Yes.
We're good.
Okay, so again, people can buy a ticket. It's $10 at NUGS.TV, NUGS.TV, and it's on a loop all weekend long, so it started
at NUGS, or you can go to NUGS.net, or you can go to either of our sites and find it. Ah. But the good news is, if you buy your ticket, which is so reasonable, it's ridiculous, but if you when you buy your ticket, it means you can watch it anytime over the weekend.
On demand.
On demand, and as many times as you want.
Oh, good.
And that's it. And you can, you know, there's also a way that you can actually also, if you feel the need, you can donate more. You can read all about the beneficiaries. You can hear all about it. But I hope everybody has a good time and enjoys it. It's the closest we could get to having the real, as we call it in Britain, knees up that we normally have at Christmas time, where it's just joy from start to finish. So I'm really hoping that.
And I do think it's important to add one little phrase that we always use to describe this show, in case people are wondering. It's a cross between reverent and irreverent.
Yeah. Well, and I know Judith has a tongue like mine. So your streams that you perform on are for fuck's sake. You as salty talking as you do are in normal life on this program?
Well, you know what? I'm normally live in the shows. My expletion is has its own zip code. It's that extreme. But I suddenly realized about 10 minutes into this that I hadn't started swearing yet, but then I made up for it. It's okay.
All right. So good to
know. You know, I mean, the fact that I'm wearing it right now, but I am this, for fuck's sake, because this is, we don't even know we're swearing anymore. Mm-hmm. I just dropped the F-bomb it's just the.
Right. Well, so and it's a good thing that I'm on, you know, the internet, because then I don't have to worry about it. The one time I ever cursed on the radio, Harry, and I don't know if you know the story, but you might have been on the phone with Michael McKeon, called in to the Mark and Brian show in character as David St. Hubbins to promote something that Spinal Tap was doing. And Mark and Brian were on vacation. I was hosting a best of show, so I didn't have the delay on. So Michael, at the end of the thing, it was funny as always. And then at the end, he said, and this was when they had their TV show. I don't know if you remember, on NBC, they had The Adventures of Mark and Brian. It was a television show. Yeah. And Michael said, oh, I've got a great idea for an adventure for Mark and Brian. I said, really? What? And he said they should go on the Howard Stern show. And he had just come to town, targeted them. We were the number one morning show. And we ignored him. We never mentioned his name. We didn't talk about nothing. And I just went, okay, well, thank you, David St. Hubbins. Good to talk to you. And I hit a commercial or a record or something, and I hit the button off, and I went, shit. And one of the switchboarders comes running in, your mic is on. And my general manager just said to me, well, at least you didn't say fuck. So
I was about to say the same thing. It is nothing.
I had a similar general manager. And radio as well.
Yeah,
I was doing a takeoff on the show that used to be a huge hit in LA radio called Bill Balance's Feminine Forum. It was a midday show where he talked to housewives about their sex lives.
Wasn't he Dr. Laura's boyfriend, boss kind of thing?
He put Dr. That. Laura on the air for the first time. Yeah, and I believe they had a little affair. But he had these very elaborate euphemisms for the male member. And I did a takeoff. Darling, would you like to come to the studio after the show and stroke my stallion ganglia, he would say. And I did a takeoff where I just got rid of the euphemisms. Mm. And my general manager called me in, David Moorhead, or as I called him, Sorehead. And he said to me these words, I could have understood if you'd said shit or fuck, but penis.
I mean, yeah, and that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Well, that's where we were at. Now, decades later, Howard Stern gets $500 million for saying penis.
Yeah.
But, you can't say shit or fuck.
Right, exactly. Anyway. And if you do over the air, you can get fined like $325,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big fuck.
Yeah.
That's a big fuck.
That's a big fuck. That's a big one. All right. So A Very Virtual Christmas Without Tears is airing now. It's playing all weekend.
Right,
it's for a great cause. It supports performers and live music venues, the little guys, not the big guys, because they can take care of themselves, but the people that are hurting right now and the venues that are hurting right now. So nugs.tv or judithowen.net, harrishearer.com, and it's there.
Judithowen.net.
And judithowen.net.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, you guys. It's great to see you, even like this, and hopefully one of these days in person again.
Yeah.
So
have a safe and healthy Christmas, though, seriously. Holiday season, whatever that might be. I don't know what it means, but
whatever it is. Happy Christmas Kwanzaa. Harry, I'm going to take us out with one of the songs from your album. What's the name of the album?
The Many Moods of Donald Trump.
The Many Moods of Donald Trump. And this one I've got a video for. It's executive time, so we'll play the video. And thank you, guys. It's great seeing you. Congratulations on the pups. They're adorable. And I'll send you another email about painting your puppy's pictures. All
right. I want you to now.
You got it. Judith Owen, Harry Shearer, thanks, you guys. I can't wait to see the show. And thanks for joining us today. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, honey.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. So as I said, this is Harry Shearer from The Many Moods of Donald Trump. It is called Executive Time.
Briefing papers, they're not really worth a dime. There's nothing brief about my briefings. They just cut into executive time. I know more than all of my experts. I've learned more from watching a mime. See, I'm at my most productive when I'm deep in executive time. Checking in with Hannity, watching Laura for a laugh, calling up my oldish pals to bitch about my safe for most of each day from a swamp filled with all of that slime. 'Cause for me, there's no time like executive time. Executive time.
It's great.
Florida climb, but I'm making this major sacrifice for the sake of executive time. I'm trapped inside this White House where no way the burgers are prime. The least I can ask is 2/3 of each day devoted to executive time. Got to know how I'm covered to keep ahead of the slobs. Of course I have to watch Tucker, keep tabs on Lou Dobbs. Safe for most of each day from a swamp filled with all of that slime. 'Cause for me, there's no time like executive time. It's executive time.
That is Harry Shearer. Oh, hold. Okay, there we go. I was worried. I thought the audio wasn't working again. Executive time. Harry Shearer from his latest album, The Many Moods of Donald Trump. Yes, his show, Le Show. I see Joni in the chat room saying his show is on Sundays about 11 a.m. or noon on WAMC, FM Public Radio in New York State. His flagship station for years was KCRW in Los Angeles, and I believe he recently moved to KCSN. You know, we're supposed to have best laid plans. Figures, this is a Friday. Oh, there he is. Okay, I see Harvey got my message. And I invited him to join me on Zoom because Skype wasn't working. So, hopefully the audio will work this way because I was having a hell of a time with Harry and Judith. So let's keep your fingers crossed and say, hello, Harvey JK. Yay, I can hear you. Yay, yay. I don't know why that was so difficult before. But you know what? Your audio still isn't coming in to the interface that goes out on the video. This is so weird. It's not on your end. It's a problem on my end, and I don't know what happened. Let me try one other thing, because I can hear you just fine. They can't. That's the problem. Oh, I see what the problem is, I think. Hold on. This is, let me turn that off. Go there. No, the problem is 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, what? Okay, you talk now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's not hearing you, and I don't know why. That's so weird. I wonder if I can bring you in this way. Talk now. ABCD. No, and I'm looking at the YouTube chatters. No audio from Harvey. This is weird. I have gremlins today. I don't know why. Yeah, but we're going to figure this out. I'll tell you what. You have a phone handy? Okay. So I want you to, in the chat on Zoom, you see at the bottom of the screen, there's a chat. Give me your phone number. This is spit and chewing gum today, everybody. I'm so sorry. In the chat, write your phone number. They can't see it. I will call you. They can't see it. No, if you put it in the chat, only I can see it. They can't see it. And yeah, no worries. No, they can't see it. And then I'll call you. Just to Nicole. Right. So then I will. I don't know. Let's see. Chat. Harvey, do you see this? Can you respond to that? I don't know. At the very bottom of the page, you can't type something in the window at the very bottom. It says type message here. Oh, you hear him? Oh, somebody said they can hear you. Talk. No, they're not. You are here. Okay. Somebody said they can hear you. I don't know. Type in the phone number and we'll talk. And if they can hear you, then we don't have to do it that way. It's gremlins. Gremlins, technology does not like me. And I fight with it constantly. Okay. Oh, so you put it in there. Okay. So Harvey, talk.
Hi, Nicole.
So tell us, Harvey, you're not teaching anymore. What are you doing in your spare time? Yeah, this isn't. Okay, so I'm calling you now. Now answer the phone, and we'll. That's me. That's me. That is me. Pick it up. That's me. Okay.
You want me to plug into my phone?
There you go. So we have the audio through the phone.
I'm now in the phone.
Okay, and we can see your video. It's, you know, it's low tech, but it'll work.
Low tech.
Low tech. So, Harvey JK.
I'm echoing to myself now. Wait a minute. I'll silence my computer.
Okay.
I can still hear you and me, but my computer is silent.
Right. So, I know this is less than ideal. I'm so sorry. You know, best laid plans and all that. I had such a stellar plan for today.
This is still, in its own way, an improvement over the earlier times that I used to be on with you every other week.
It is.
And I because I couldn't, I don't think we were able to communicate directly visually.
No.
Right? You didn't have.
I didn't have video. When you first started doing the show, it was audio only because this is a radio show. But, I have so many tricks and tools that we can use to try to make this work. At least now we see you. So here we are, Harvey J.K. We're almost at the end of this 4 years of hell. Not to say that come January 21st, we'll be out of hell, but in terms of, in a historical perspective, how do you think history is going to look back on this past 4 years?
Well, how history looks back on it will depend on what happened in the first second. It's going to depend on what's coming up. Because, in other words, we'll look at the past in terms of what we've accomplished or failed to accomplish over the horizon. And I can tell you before we get too hopeful about January. I don't. This is paranoia, perhaps, but the 106 Congress people.
126 now. There are 126 now.
Right. That was what I was getting there. Now 126. Now, House members alone can't pull it off. But you got to make sure. You know. But if all of a sudden Republican senators who are these people are clearly reactionary, proto-fascist, white supremacist. I mean, they're more than willing these Republicans. This is not a Republican Party with a capital R. This is a really reactionary party. It's a cap with a capital R.
Mm-hmm.
And however much Biden is not my candidate, I voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fed up with 4 years of Trump's clearly not simply what I thought would at first be an opportunistic presidency, but it's become a racist, spewing, anti-working class, anti-women. I mean, it's anti all of the things that we struggled for so many years to secure, at least in terms of freedom and equality, and make America more inclusive. And it's everything that one could have. If one had predicted it, one would have been like, no, it can't get that bad. And truly, I mean, look, $1 trillion giveaway to big business topped anything neoliberals had fantasized in the past in the Democratic Party. So, yeah, no, how will it look back? Well, let's put it this way. If all of a sudden Bernie Sanders actually gets into the mind and the brain of Biden, maybe we'll come to look back at those 4 years as, if you like, the last gasp of reactionaries. But I fear, given what we've seen as appointments or nominations to the cabinet, that we're going to have a pretty disappointing 100 days and a pretty unsettling 2 first years that might well lead to the Republicans retaking the House and eventually getting some, if not Trump himself, returning, which I don't see happening, but some other Republican to emerge. Who that might be, I really have no idea. But it won't be some moderate. It won't be a moderate.
Well, the fact that 126 sitting Republican Congress people have signed on to this nonsense is stunning. And it's 17 or 18 attorneys general of states around the country are in this. I mean, do you have faith in the Supreme Court that they're going to say, wait a minute, this guy is going to be decimated in the history books. I don't want my legacy to depend on him. He may have appointed me to the Supreme Court, but I'm not going to go down in flames for him on something like this. I mean, do you think there? I mean, I talk to people and some of them are really scared that he'll pull this off.
Well, it's all votes in the sense that obviously don't trust Republican senators or Republican, I call them congressmen to get the gender bias.
Right.
Okay. But I actually have, certainly it's going to sound utterly bizarre, but I actually think the Supreme Court might not be the basis upon which.
Uh-oh, I lost you, Harvey. You there?
I couldn't hear you.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
I got you back.
Yeah. I don't see that. Look, if the election were, if indeed from the beginning there had been questions about the election, serious questions, not Giuliani questions,
mm-hmm.
then I might worry about the Supreme Court. But I would hope that we could put together at least 5 votes to tell them to shut the thing down.
Right. Or okay? Not be able to put 4 votes together to hear the case. I mean, this should not even be heard.
Oh, sorry, of course.
Right?
Of course.
They need 4 right. to agree right. to hear it. I can't, you know,
yeah.
And look, you've got Clarence Thomas. You've got Alito. You got, I mean, I could see them doing his bidding, but I don't think that, well, Kavanaugh might, I don't know if, and Amy Coney Barrett probably will too, because she's an Android Stepford wife. She talks like this and she's very robotic and she sounds like she just inhaled some helium. Amy Coney Barrett, sorry, I can't help myself when I get started on that. But I don't know. We don't know enough about these people. She's fucking nuts. But who knows?
Well, I rarely refer to the physicality of someone, but her eyes are worrisome, right? I mean, I don't know if she's ever blinked, so I do worry.
I don't know either. Harvey, you know what? This I love having you on. This is horrible. I so apologize. I don't know what happened. It's my gremlins. How about we make a date in the next week
sure.
to have you back when my
okay.
audio is working right and people can hear you as
Absolutely.
They should be hearing you? I
sure.
appreciate it. Or you know what we can do is hang up and just do audio only. We don't need the video. I can bring you in on a phone line. That's not this cell phone.
Whatever you prefer. I'm more than willing to come back next week.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Let me play a little something. I'm going to call you back on a better phone line. We won't have the video, but we'll be able to hear you at least and have a conversation for the
okay.
last 10 minutes of the show or
right.
something. All right? All right.
Okay,
so
I'm hanging up on you.
All right.
Okay.
You do that. Harvey J.K., we are going to reach him again in a moment. While we do that, I guess, you know, it is holiday time. So let me play for you a little holiday song. Okay? Let's give this a shot. This will work, won't it?
Itchy baby, you're killing democracy for me. You've been an awful bad boy, Mitchy baby. So slither to Kentucky tonight. Oh. Mitchy baby, George is gonna slip some into yes blue. Won't be the leader next year, Mitchy baby. So slither to Kentucky tonight. Think of all the lives you cost. Think of all the jobs they almost weren't lost. Next year it could be more than good if I don't see your hands defrost. Mitchy, honey, your chuckle is demonic. It's like a lot. You're a grim reaper, dear Mitchy, baby. Go slither to Kentucky tonight.
Hold on one more second. All right. Now do I have audio? I think I just need to hang up for a second. All right, we'll try this. Harvey, you there? No. Damn it. What the hell? The number I entered is into, oh, I'm still calling Israel. It's so funny. This morning, all right, now we'll call him. This morning, I taped an interview with somebody in Israel about what happened with Morocco. The thing is, and it's a great interview. The thing is, I can't play. I need to edit it first because his accent is so thick And it was hard to understand him, so I need to edit it so you'll be able to hear it. I'm having one of those days. I'm so glad it's Friday. All right, Harvey, pick up the phone. One ringy dingy. I know, now you can hear me, right? Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Now I get voicemail. I can't win. And now I should tell you, I'm also guest hosting. I dialed it correctly. Let me try it one more time. I'm guest hosting the Bradcast tonight. So hopefully my technology will cooperate, because if this happens on Brad's show, then I'm screwed. All right. One more time. And if this doesn't work, I don't know. I give up. Come on, Harvey, pick up the phone. Oh, I'm dialing the wrong number. Look
Your
at me.
Call has been forwarded to
Oh my God. I wouldn't blame you guys if you all just left right now. Last try, and then I just totally give up. Maybe I'm dyslexic in my old age. 2-1 there we go. Okay. And wouldn't you know, I had his number programmed in there the whole time. No, you should have audio. Harvey? Hello?
I call you. Yeah, you got me? Can you hear me?
I hear you. I still don't hear you great, but I hear you.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah, something spunky to... Oh, are you...
I didn't get it?
Not really. Can you guys hear me? Now YouTube is telling me you can't hear me? YouTube can't hear me. I'm your tech soulmate. All right. I don't know if YouTube can hear me. I know we're still going out on the Progressive Voices Network. I know we're going out on my stream, which is NicoleSandlerStream.com. But Harvey, we have a funky phone connection again. I don't know what's happening with my life. All right. So talk to me, Harvey.
I'll tell you, I was on earlier with somebody in Boston by way of a producer in Florida, and they were having phone troubles too.
Really?
So who knows?
Now I can hear you. I can hear you. It's kind of echo. It's kind of hollow, but it's working. Get some Procera AVH. All right. I don't know. It'll clear the fog out of my brain. I'm glad I can laugh at this, because frankly, at another time in my life, I'd be freaking out right now. But thank you guys for bearing with me. This is a comedy of errors
today. Comparison to so many other things, right?
Yes, it does. All right. So do you think, Harvey J.K., based on your many years as a professor of freedom and democracy, of an author of many books, of a historian, do you believe that come January 20th at 12:03 p.m., Joe Biden will be taking the oath of office?
Okay, that I do believe, yes. That I definitely do believe.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. I think between now and maybe Christmas, we're going to see a lot of shenanigans, and it's going to be all to unsettle us. And maybe even to raise, and basically Trump is looking to raise money for whatever his plans in the future are. What's amazing is that these Republican folks in Congress are so willing to go along with this lunacy. That's the astounding part. But we jumped from that to the Supreme Court when we were speaking before. I don't think the Republicans in the Senate are going to go along with this. I'm more than willing to... I'm very unhappy if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Republicans are going to buy into this.
But they already are. It's frightening. I mean, Ted Cruz, now again, it's Ted Cruz, but Ted Cruz is saying if this goes to the Supreme Court, he'll argue for Donald Trump in front of the Supreme Court. I mean, I talk about opposite world all the time, but this is beyond that.
Yeah, right. And in DC Universe comics, this would be Bizarro World.
Yeah.
And I thought we'd already seen Bizarro World for the past several years. But it still remains the case that I don't know what would lead Cruz to want to make the case. If you consider the fact that right now, over and over and over again, Trump's legal team, whether it's Giuliani or anybody else, has been literally thrown out of court by people who have, you know, traditionally been Republicans themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly, I don't know why any of them would hold on to this fantasy of overturning a Democratic, small d, Democratic election. I don't get it, okay?
I don't get it either. This is what happens when you elect someone to the highest office in the land who has no conception of what the job is about, what the history of the nation is, what the Constitution says, how the laws work, how anything works. I mean, this is what happens when you put a moron in the presidency. We got exactly what we deserve.
Right, an ambitious moron.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, that a moron unto him or herself would not be able to pull off the stunts that he's pulled off. He's ambitious. He's conniving. And, you know, I have this idea that he has some massive scheme or team of private detectives uncover the worst about every one of these Republicans that he was prepared to release into the public realm. But that would have required a conspiracy on a scale that even he probably couldn't have pulled off. So, you know, I mean, right now we're talking about something which you and I have no experience of encountering before. I mean, Richard Nixon's Watergate struck me as the most outlandish thing that I might have encountered. I couldn't imagine this kind of behavior. I just couldn't.
Right. No, it makes no sense. And then, you know, you look at his actions since Election Day. We have horrific numbers of people getting infected every day, dying every day. The statistics are just frightening, and he doesn't give a shit. All he cares about is his delusion that he won the election, that it was stolen from him. It wasn't. He thinks everybody loves him. Guess what, Donald fucking Trump? We don't. God, it's infuriating.
Yeah. You know, there's something else I'm going to shift the gears a little bit.
Okay.
We haven't talked in a while. But stick to the theme.
Okay.
Of the deaths, the pandemic, yeah. What are we up to, 290,000 plus?
More, yeah. Close. More. It'll be 300,000 this right. weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. But, if we go back to the primaries of the Democratic Party, and Bernie Sanders, who was the champion of the closest call for Medicare for All, sorry, of universal health care, yeah. Medicare for All, that we've ever heard in this country since Truman and Franklin Roosevelt, okay, consider the fact that the entire team of Democrats on that stage with Bernie were all prepared to go after him to say we could not afford Medicare for All, when word was already coming of a possible pandemic.
Wow.
And so what I'm getting at is that, the Republicans cannot be scurvier than they are. But basically speaking, the Democrats have a lot to answer for. You and I have to agree on that, surely.
That what, they need to answer for this?
No, that they, look, how can it be that then and even now, we have not heard a call from the Democrats for universal health care.
It's sickening, frankly, because we are in this pandemic. Millions of people who've lost their jobs have also lost their health insurance. And as somebody who gets her insurance on the exchange through the Affordable Care Act, I will tell you that it's not affordable. And it's certainly not affordable when you're not working and you don't have an income. This is the problem. This nation is not taking care of us. Mitch McConnell is balking at, you know, an individual payment. And I love Bernie. He's fighting for another $1,200 for all of us adults. One $1,200 payment. This is in 9 months. It's not enough.
A little bit. Yeah. I can explain the limited sum that he proposed, because that was sort of
all he can get through.
And he brought, surprisingly, he brought Josh Hawley, the conservative Republican senator from Missouri, into that project.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I'm not bitching about that's something that's better than nothing. It'll help a lot of people. Yeah. But $1,200, frankly, won't pay somebody's 1 month rent when they're behind six.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, absolutely. The whole thing is it is bizarre world. I mean, it's just no question about it. And by the way, this is where I told you might have gone with naming Neera Tanden to head the Office of Management and Budget, assuming the Republicans would ever approve of her. And it's pretty striking that they're ready to say no to just about anybody Biden might put up, except unless he maybe nominated Kasich, and they may not even like him because of the fact that he...
Oh, God. We don't need John Kasich. You know, here's the thing. How many Democrats did Donald Trump bring into his administration? Not only did he bring none, but if you were not a Trump voter, you were a traitor to your nation. Democrats are evil. We're radical liberals, don't you know? And according to him, we're not even Americans. So we're supposed to welcome them with open arms? Uh-uh. I'm sorry. I don't play that game.
All I'm saying is that Biden has even now, I don't know why he's so eager to impress Republicans that he's not actually a radical of any sort, when in fact it's pretty clear they've drawn a line in the sand. And if the Democrats are prepared to stay behind that line, then basically the next step is the Republicans cross it and start dictating terms to the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it looks like that happens. If Mitch McConnell retains control of the Senate, which he likely will, the only way he won't is if Democrats overwhelmingly vote in Georgia on January 5th and elect Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff to the Senate.
Yeah.
Then it's tied. Then it's 50-50. Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker. Democrats have control. It's the only way. With Mitch McConnell in charge, we will get nothing done. They'll hold up any nominations that Biden wants to put through. It's going to be we see what they're doing. And we have no way to stop them, which is what's terrifying.
Yeah, and then okay, I don't want to end on this terrible note.
Okay.
What does Manchin bolt from the Democratic Party?
Because he considers himself a Democrat, yet he won't support Medicare for all. He won't support a Green New Deal. He won't support, a minimum wage of $15 an hour. He won't support anything we want. But yet we're better off with him having a D next to his name than an R, because it's just the numbers, and especially when it's so close.
Yeah, so the D will become denial instead of Democrat. That's what
right.
It stands for.
And you
denial.
Know what? But it's not only Joe Manchin, because Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona is just as bad.
Yeah.
And
what I hear is
Mark Kelly is very conservative as well. And he just, he just took over Martha McSally's seat. That was John McCain's seat. So at least it's headed in the right direction, but it's not where we need to be right now. And we have 4 years worth of disaster to fix. And if Mitch McConnell retains control of the Senate, nothing's going to get fixed.
I keep hoping with Kelly that the old thing, who has his ear or who has her ear, that maybe his wife will have his ear, and maybe she's
But not really. Gabby Giffords was a blue dog. She was always from the conservative portion of the as Howie Klein says, the Republican part of the Democratic Party. So they're Arizonians. They're gun people. They're right wingers, but they're right wing Democrats, which is certainly better than white right wing Republicans. But not what we need right there. Oh my God! All right, Harvey J.K. We are coming up to the end of the hour. Thankfully, I'm being put out of my misery. I promise I will reach out to you in the next week or two. I will make sure before you come back on the show that everything is working right. It worked fine yesterday. I don't know what happened.
Blame it on me. I brought bad things with me.
No. It's me. The tech gods hate me. They haunt me. They're gremlins. They invade me. It happens. I mean, the fact that we've had about a 2-month stretch, if that, where things have been pretty okay, maybe a month.
Let me just say that if for some reason we cannot speak until the new year, you have a very good Hanukkah, Christmas, and New Year.
Well, thank you so much. And don't forget about Festivus when we air the grievances.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Harvey J.K., thank you so much. I promise. We'll have you back on soon, and we'll have a decent conversation.
All
Thank you. Thank you for bearing with me.
Stay healthy.
All right. You too. Bye. And with that, we're done. Oh, thank God. I'll be in for Brad tonight. Go to bradblog.com and listen anytime after 8 or Progressive Voices Network. Have a great weekend, everyone. Sorry about today. Bye.